Welcome to OutBless Weekly, the four-day-a-week Bible study led by Michael Metcalf. Join us live or listen to OutBless Weekly podcast later at outbless.com. Listen as Michael teaches the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, in an easy-to-understand format, as he is led by the Holy Spirit and brings the Word to life. Listeners learn how God outblessed us all by sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross to pay for our sins, and how God raised him from the dead 3 days later. Jesus is the risen Lord and Savior, and is actively working in every believer's life to outbless them today. Come and listen to the heart of a servant, and be outblessed again.
Well, Father God, we come before your mighty throne of grace once again, Lord, to say thank you for your grace, thank you for your love, thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross to pay for our sins. And so, Lord, we're just grateful children, acknowledging this morning what you have done already for us to save us. And we're just super glad, we're super happy, we're super blessed that by faith in Jesus, that we could be forgiven, our sins can be washed away, we can be made right in your sight, and we could know for sure that when we die, we're going to heaven. So that's why we sing songs and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, because you gave it all, and so we owe you all. And so, Father, I just want to honor you this morning, and I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that you gave us your word so that we could read it, we could get to know you, we could get to understand the way that you think and the plans that you have for us. So, Lord, would you minister to every one of us now as we commit this time to you to Bible study, to read your word and to know these are your words, not mine. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be the teacher today and not me. So God, just give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says, and give us hearts that are ready to receive it. And just help us, God, to change our thinking and the way that we conduct ourselves according to your word. We need your help to do it, Lord. And that's why we need to come into this room or on this study regularly so we could be fed your word, so we would be changed by your word and directed by you. And so thank you, God, that you will now. We commit this time in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Romans chapter 3, the title of this message is All the World Guilty. Quite a sentence, quite a title. So turn to chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1, we read, "Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, and every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged." And so chapter 3 begins with this word then, and Paul can ask this question based on what we learned back in chapter 2 about Jews and Gentiles. And so what advantage has the Jew, or what's the benefit of circumcision, is the idea. And now God gives us the answer. He said, first of all, they were entrusted with the oracles of God, right? They had the scriptures and the prophets, and many miracles like being freed from slavery after 400 years, or the Red Sea parted, or their adversaries that got drowned in the sea, or how they were kept alive in the desert for 40 years without provision. And I could go on and on and on, but they had the scriptures. They had God's word, and they had God's protection, and they had God's favor, and he was teaching them all along how to trust them. And so even if some Jews don't believe, it will not nullify the faithfulness of God. God will be found true. And that means that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so though every man may be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you're judged. And so we're justified not by our actions, not by the cutting away of the flesh or this event that the Jews called circumcision, but we're justified by what? Our words. And so what are the words that can justify you, or the words that can justify me, or the words that can justify anybody today? The words are, yes, Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ that you're Lord. And I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. And so when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the words that justify you. And so it becomes his act on the cross and not whether you deserve it or not, because you could never deserve it. I could never deserve it. None of us could earn our way into heaven. And so the Bible teaches us that by grace that we have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the only way to prevail when you're judged is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so it's speaking that wonderful name of Jesus Christ and putting your faith in that name. Those are the words that are going to justify you before God Almighty. How important is that? Wow. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? I am speaking in human terms. May it never be. For otherwise, how will God judge the world? But if through my lie the truth of God abounded to his glory, why am I also being judged as a sinner? And why not say, as we are slanderously reported, and as some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may come? Their condemnation is just. And so this entire paragraph is designed to help us to see the foolishness of men's thinking. God's plan was much better than this. God was unveiling a way for all men to be saved. For by the Jews' rejection of the Messiah, the word was poured out upon the Gentiles, the rest of the world. And if you would, think about that just for a second. I don't know the number, so don't hold me to the number, but back then there was probably something in the order of 6 million Jews. And because 6 million Jews pretty much rejected the word of Christ, it got poured out to the Gentiles, which were in the billions. And so their rejection turned into the salvation of the rest of the world. And that's why God did it that way. But don't worry, he's not done with the Jews yet. There's a verse in the book of Revelation that says, and all Israel will be saved. And so I think they're still going to get another chance to see and to learn and to confess that Jesus is Lord. Maybe that's at the second coming. Maybe it's during the time of tribulation. I don't really know for sure, but I believe that God's got an awesome plan. And so verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written. Listen carefully to what was written. Listen to these words. There is none righteous, not even one, and there is not one who understands. Wow, what does that mean? It means there's not one man or woman listening right now. There's not one man or woman walking on the face of the earth right now, not one that's righteous. We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all blown it. That's what that means. And there is none who understands. And there is none who seeks for God. And so it seems like sometimes the world that we live in is godless. It seems like verse 12, all have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one. And their throat, verse 13, is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, these verses were written back in Psalms in chapter 14, verse 3, and then Psalms chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. And so this kind of seals the court's decision that all of us have been found guilty. Not one of us is worthy. It shows that all of mankind has now fallen into this desperate need or desperate state where it's all over. We have to be saved. We need a savior. And I think that's the whole point. We need to be saved from our own sin. And so what did God do about it? Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Wow. So we know whatever the law says, God gave it to us in writing so there would be no debating what was right or what was wrong. It's not up for interpretation or negotiation. God wrote those Ten Commandments with his fingers on a stone tablet and gave it to us, and that's it. That's the law. And there's another verse that says that the law is our school teacher. In other words, we became aware of what truth really is. When you read those Ten Commandments, you can now line your life up to those Ten Commandments, and you can see that you have broken them. And that you, and there's also something that says if you've broken one, then you're guilty of breaking them all. And so there's none righteous according to the law. We just became aware that we're sinners and that we don't measure up. We're not perfect. We can't get into heaven because of the law. That's the idea here. And so you either lived up to all of it or you haven't lived up to it at all. And so that's why every mouth may be closed and all the world may be accountable to God. It means that we all have to shut up and go, yep, we're sinners. We don't deserve to get in. We're not that holy. We're not that pious. We've got some stains on our shirt. We got some rips in our jeans, as the song goes. And so all the world becomes accountable, which means judgment's going to apply to each and every one of us worldwide. Nobody gets a pass according to the law. And so it paints this picture of desperation that we're all in because of our sin. But God didn't leave this book at that verse. You see, there's more verses that begin at verse 21. Isn't that interesting? It begins at verse 21, which is made up of three sevens. And the title is Justification by Faith. Wow. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. That word manifested means it became visible. What was not known before or what was not visible before just became visible. It just became understandable to mere men like me and you. And what was it that became visible? Righteousness apart from the law. That's what became manifested. Righteousness apart from the law is being witnessed now by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Wow, what an awesome promise of God. Boy, if there is a verse in the Bible that's worth memorizing, this might be it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there's no distinction. Man, praise God, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, or who you are, or what you've done, or what you believed before, or what you didn't believe before, or what sin you committed before. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you really believe that in your heart, you're getting born again. And God's an equal opportunity savior. He'll save you today. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I love that. The righteousness of God has now been manifested, which means that we can see it. We can understand it, and it's apart from the law. So God made a brand new way to get to heaven through faith in Christ. We don't have to worry that we broke the law because we all did. So verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That means me, that means you, that means Franklin Graham, it means every man and woman, no matter how holy or pious you think they are, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And so we have to acknowledge that, and we have to understand that we're being justified, but it's as a gift, and it's by grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. That word justified means declared not guilty. And so it happened as a gift by his grace. This is the greatest gift that any man could ever be given throughout all history. A gift to be declared not guilty by his grace. It's unearned, undeserved favor. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We get this gift today. If you just put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead, you get this amazing gift from the Lord, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. A propitiation was the blood that was sprinkled on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant by the high priest once each year to pay for the sins of the Jewish people. And so God displayed this with Jesus Christ on the cross and the shedding of his blood. And so the Jews saw it, it was written in the books, and now it's on display for the whole world to see. And so we merely accept the gift of his blood, which was our propitiation. That means our payment in full for our sins. And so we do this how? By faith in Jesus Christ, and then it's given to us as a gift. Wow. What a simple thing to do, and yet how powerful that is. And that we would be just, or that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So God is totally just. He still required a blood sacrifice for sin. The law was fully met, but he did it once and for all with the blood of Jesus Christ, the only perfect sacrifice, and he paid for all of our sins by doing it that way. And so what happens? God gets all the credit for being the justifier of each one who has faith in Jesus Christ. He's just and he's the justifier both. He made the rules and he helped him keep the rule, helped us keep the rules. That's the idea. He fulfilled both sides of the bargain, both sides of the contract. And so verse 27 says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Or is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since indeed God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. And so he asked this question, where then is boasting? And he says it's excluded. It means I can't boast. You can't boast. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile or a Catholic or a Protestant or a Baptist or any other thing. You can't boast about it. Nobody can boast that they lived a holy enough life to get to heaven. Because God justified us through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so the same applies to the Jew and the Gentile, the Catholic, the Baptist, the Protestant, the Presbyterian, fill in the blank. We all get justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the only way. And so do then we nullify the law through faith? In other words, does that mean the law doesn't apply? He said, may it never be. But he said, on the contrary, we established the law. So the law's not nullified. It was kept 100% to the letter of the law. Jesus Christ paid that full price with his own blood, the most expensive payment that was ever made. And Jesus paid for you, he paid for me, and he paid for every sinner, and he paid for every sin, past, present, and future, by his blood. And if you believe this, then you're justified. That means that you're made righteous. That means that you're on your way to heaven, and all hell cannot stop you. And every time the devil tries to lie to you and tell you that you're not worthy or you're guilty because of something you did in the past or recently or even now, you can say this. It may be true, but it was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. End of argument. It's done. Jesus said when he was dying on that cross, it is finished, and it was so. And so thank God the Father who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a man who lived a perfect life and then sacrifice it so that we could be with him in heaven for all eternity. He became like us so that we can become like him. Glory be to God. Father, this is a short chapter, but yet so powerful, so important. We must, every one of us, bow our knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And understand and recognize and realize that none of us are justified by the law or trying to keep the law, because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all blown it. We are sinners, and we are without hope unless we put our faith in Jesus Christ. But praise God. Thank you, God, that you gave Jesus Christ to us, who came down from heaven, born a man, tempted in every way as we were, but never sinned, perfect in every way. And then you allowed him to shed his perfect blood, the only thing that can take away the sin, according to your law, is blood, but it took the perfect blood of Jesus himself to make it permanent. And so you did it. You sent him down here to do that, and you accomplished it. And Jesus said, it is finished. And when he said those words, that's when it was done. And so now every man, woman, or child alive on the earth, if they just bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in their heart, God, that you raised them from the dead, they get born again, they get saved, they get forgiven of all their sin, they get to know that they know that they know they're going to heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful, awesome, loving Father you are, Lord. And I know I could never praise you enough. I could never thank you enough. I could never show my appreciation enough. But Lord, I'm certainly going to try with the rest of the days of my life. And so everywhere I go, everywhere that you let me tell people about you, I will. And I pray, God, that you encourage and touch every heart that listens to this message. Not only to remember that there's no way for them to be justified without the blood of Jesus, but also, Lord, to know that today is the day of salvation and they are justified right now by faith in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful Savior. So light us up, God, and help us, God, to go tell somebody else about the good news of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again in victory over sin, in victory over death, and showing us the way and how we can get to heaven today, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to OutBless Weekly, the four-day-a-week Bible study by Michael Metcalf. If this study helped you, please join us again 4 days a week at outbless.com. You can listen live or listen later at your convenience. And don't forget to go outbless someone else today by sharing what you have learned. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to study and seek His face.